Our reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 15. And your pew Bible will be on page 1008. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confessions of gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in the prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
Thanksgiving. In case you hadn't picked up on it, the official day of remembrance and celebration is this coming Thursday. Some people will be out of work for the day. Some people will gather together as families to give thanks to God, to pause together. Others will be working and preparing food, whether at a job outside the home or perhaps in the home, those who cook the turkeys and the candied yams and the corn and the biscuits and the pumpkin and sweet potato pies. And I know y'all are ready for me to stop so you can go to the cafeteria and eat now, but you're not quite that fortunate today. But we will gather to give thanks, hopefully give thanks to God for all the blessings God has given us. People will also eat mountains of food, watch football or holiday movies, then go back and eat more, and then take a nap and snore, and then later go back and eat more. And somewhere in all of that, there will probably be at least a blessing over the food. And I hope that will not be forgotten in eating the mountains of food and watching the football games and sitting on the couch and snoring. But not everyone will be so fortunate. There are people, not just in other parts of the world, but even in our own community, that perhaps have no place to stay, no place to eat that lunch unless they go to a shelter or a soup kitchen, much less all that food that many of us will consume. The situation was similar in Paul's day in the city of Corinth, a city that was very metropolitan and cosmopolitan, a city that was at one point the capital of the whole Achaean League, a city in which there was every socioeconomic class, a city in which there were very wealthy and in which there were very poor. And in the church at Corinth, this Christian church, there was also that wide range of socioeconomic conditions. There were people who had plenty and people who had very little. People who had good jobs and people who, in some cases, because of their becoming Christian, had to stop working at the profession that they had earlier. That's one of the problems addressed surrounding the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because people were coming together and they were bringing food to eat, but it wasn't like we do at homecoming or other times. They didn't bring food in and sit it on the table for everyone to take, but those who had brought food for them, and those who didn't have, didn't have. And it wasn't shared. And so Paul oftentimes will be addressing in the Corinthian correspondence this whole notion of sharing the gifts that God gives us. And in this particular passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking about sowing seed, the blessings that God gives. He's talking to people who are very cosmopolitan and didn't grow up on a farm, and he's talking to folks who were very agrarian and all points in between. But his point is that everyone knows that in order to get a bountiful harvest, you have to sow enough seed. You have to care for it and cultivate it enough. And Paul reminds the Corinthians that all Christians are gifted by God, and not just for our good, but for the good of others. The passage here begins with Paul saying that God will supply the giver's needs more than sufficiently. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. Just before in verse 5, Paul mentions the promise of their giving, and that they must give a willing gift, and that God will prosper those things that we give and those things that we share. But if we only give and share sparingly, with our money, with our food, or with our time and talents, then we will not get very much. Farmers who sow sparingly limit the possibility of the harvest, right? If you don't sow enough, if you don't care for it enough, you're limiting tremendously the potential harvest. Paul is saying here, though, that those who sow generously, who sow a loving, generous spirit, will reap that love and that kindness from others. But it must be something we decide for ourselves. Those things that we will give, those things that we will sow, whether it is our tithes and offerings or whether it is our talents, those spiritual gifts that God gives to us, we determine. But the attitude with which we sow will have direct effect on what we gain and our standing not only in God, but with others. If we share reluctantly or with sadness, and tonight in our Luke study we'll talk about that rich young ruler as we work in Luke 18, who went away sad because Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor. If we sow with sadness and reluctance, if we share our gifts and our talents with sadness or reluctance, then what we give and what we receive is less than satisfactory. Attitude is of supreme importance, and God wants to gift us even more. But we determine whether we limit that or not. Whether we give money or love. Offerings for the temple were to be given joyfully and willingly. We find that in Leviticus. For those who were in the Wednesday morning studies in Leviticus and said, oh, this is a really terrible, bloody, horrifying kind of book. In some ways it can be. There was still that call to give joyfully, to give willingly to the temple. And if this is a true attitude, God will be generous spiritually and materially. when he says in the passage here that all grace will be given. He means every gift of divine grace, every spiritual blessing that God wishes to give us can be ours if we indeed share. In fact, giving, Paul would contend, is an act of faith in God if we give little of ourselves and of the things that God blesses us with. Then are we showing a lack of faith? For Paul, that's true. Only when we give generously do we show generous faith in God. You see, we are trustees of all God's blessings that have been given to us. As it is written, verse 9, He scatters abroad, He gives to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now, while most of the time we interpret that as having to do with God's giving and God's righteousness, which is true, it is also a statement, if you go back to the original text, it's also a statement about our righteousness, our relationship with God, as we share with those who are in need. That God will bless that person eternally. God wishes to bless you and me eternally, but only if our righteousness is given away with generosity. And He will increase our spiritual harvest and our blessings. That doesn't mean that we're going to get extra stars in our crown or a bigger room up on the hill. What it means is that there will be more thanksgiving to God and for God, for life, for being able to gift others with the grace that God gives us. And not just materially, but spiritually as well. The giving or the rendering of service for those in need results in thanksgiving for the gift. Thanksgiving for the giver. And thanksgiving by the recipients. The ministry or service, Paul says, is a test of how deeply the gospel has affected us. You ever think of it that way? Our sharing with others, not just materially, but also spiritually and emotionally, is in some ways a test of just how deeply the gospel has taken hold of us. Or better yet, it's a witness, should we say, although he uses the word for test. It's a witness as to how deeply we have understood the gospel in which God is giving and giving through Christ. It gives proof of the depth of our discipleship. As Paul continues, he says to the Corinthians that we should thank God for this great, indescribable gift that He has given us. Both what God has given us in Jesus our Christ and the resulting unity of diverse groups of Christians that come together for service and for worship. Not all of us in here think the same way. Not all of us in here dress the same way. Not all of us in here approach our daily living the same way. We are very, very diverse. We come from different places. And yet, we are called to be unified. Unified in purpose, not conformity, but unified in purpose for the gospel of God. That good news which we are called to share with others around us, to share with each other. But we can't share it if, first of all, we don't take it in and take it deeply into our hearts and our souls. God is able to make grace abound in and through somebody even like me. But only if we are open and willing to accept His gifts and then to sow them into the world. Gifts materially, gifts spiritually. New Testament theologian Mitzi Miner writes of this passage, and I quote, "An authentic awareness and reception of grace leads to greater graciousness, never to self-centeredness or self-righteousness. End of quote. An authentic awareness and reception of grace leads to greater graciousness, never to self-centeredness or self-righteousness. God is the source of all grace. God is the source of all we receive. And we come and we thank God for the bounty of the table. We thank God for the bounty of family. We thank God for the grace that we find in Jesus of Nazareth. If God is truly the source of all we receive, and we understand that fully, we give because God enables our giving. Our giving as worship to God and as partners with fellow Christians. It's part and parcel of being ecclesia, church. It's foundational in being koinonia, fellowship. We have ongoing opportunities to share in God's outpouring of grace in the world. Think about it. The God of the universe has decided to trust you and me in helping to redeem the world. Redeem the world physically, materially. Redeem the world spiritually as we share God's grace and love in Christ with others. Redeem the world emotionally as we offer a shoulder, a caring ear to hear, a cold cup of water, or a loving hand to share in lifting a burden. God wants us to share His life in pouring out grace to the world. So how do we do that? We can sing those praises. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 10 empty chairs up here. We can share that gift and that grace. And we have other chairs in a side room that we can add. We can teach. Teach in Sunday school. Teach on Wednesday nights. Teach at home by the way we live our lives and care for our children and our grandchildren and others in our family. We can pray. Not just God is great, God is good at mealtime. And not just at nighttime, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, don't let my family celebrate. Oh, that's not how it goes. But living with an attitude of prayer and taking time to thank God, even driving down the road, just don't close your eyes. To participate in the various opportunities we have to come together to worship, to come together to work for God in the community. We can do these things and share that grace when we take seriously our study and meditation on the Bible. Or when we have a co-worker at work who has some difficult situations in his or her life and we reach out and share a kind word, or we listen. And then we don't go around and tell everybody, but we keep that confidence. Or we see someone on the side of the road who is in need, and instead of dropping the $5 bill in their hand or saying, I really don't know, they may take off with it, we stop and we pick up a meal and we say, here, eat and be filled. And we could go on and on and on. And the various little things that we do that share God's grace. For I'm telling you that just as people say, it's the little things that cause blow-ups and breakups, right? It's not generally the big things. It's all the little things that add up. It's also those things that we think are the little things, sowing those little seeds that can bring about a harvest of grace, a harvest of hope, a harvest of love. Don't know who he is. I'm sure some of you's brains have been turning trying to figure out, okay, who was here in the 50s, about 5 to 8 years old, and has been all over the world. And, yeah, taking money out of the offering plate wasn't the right thing to do. I don't think he's trying to make it up. I think he's trying to make a point. That he's come to realize that God has gifted him with grace, and so he seeks to sow back into the world some of what that gift is. We too are called to sow the grace that God gives us. And not just in our tithes and offerings, though they are important, but in our attitudes and in our words and in our deeds. Starting with those in family and those around, but also continuing. Even to that co-worker that we don't really like, or the person that put the fence up 3 inches on our side of the property line. When we truly know in our hearts and souls that God has graced us, we can acknowledge by gracing the world in His name. Sow the seeds, and the world will reap God's harvest. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for the many ways that You bless us, the many graces that You offer to us. Help us to be ever mindful and more intent upon sharing that grace, so that others' lives might become filled with Your loving care because of what You do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 786. Count Your Blessings. Something that we will do Thanksgiving, but hopefully we'll do at other times as well. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make on behalf of God in Christ or God's church in this place. Hymn number 786, Count Your Blessings.